I'm Melissa Harris-Perry. This is The Takeaway. In 1970, a woman using the pseudonym Jane Roe filed a lawsuit against the District Attorney of Dallas County, Henry Wade. That Texas lawsuit was decided by the Supreme Court 3 years later. Here's a report for ABC News on January 22, 1973, when the decision was handed down.
The Supreme Court today ruled that abortion is completely a private matter to be decided by mother and doctor in the first 3 months of pregnancy. The 7-2 ruling to that effect will probably result in a drastic overhaul of state laws on abortion.
The court's decision in Roe v. Wade affirmed a constitutional right to privacy and asserted the legal right to obtain an abortion before viability, which is at about 23 weeks of pregnancy. Here's more from attorney Sarah Weddington, who represented the woman known as Jane Roe.
We are once again before this court to ask relief against the continued enforcement of the Texas abortion statute and ask that you affirm the ruling of the three-judge court below, which held our statute unconstitutional for two reasons. The first, that it was vague, and the second, that it interfered with the Ninth Amendment right of a woman to determine whether or not she would continue or terminate a pregnancy.
Now, nearly 50 years later, the state of Texas and the Supreme Court are once again at the center of the battle over abortion. On Wednesday, one of the most restrictive abortion laws in the United States went into effect in the Lone Star State. Called SB 8, it bans most abortions after 6 weeks of pregnancy. And because most people are unaware that they are pregnant until 6 weeks, this law effectively bans abortions. The law also provides private citizens with the right to sue anyone who provides or aids people in getting an abortion. And this includes everyone from the doctor who performs it to the Uber driver who brings the patient to a clinic. Abortion providers in Texas filed an emergency appeal against the law, but late on Wednesday, the Supreme Court blocked that appeal. For more on this, let's speak with two abortion providers in Texas. Dr. Pavit Kumar is a staff physician for Planned Parenthood Center for Choice in Houston. Dr. Kumar, great to have you here.
Thanks for having me.
And also here is Dr. Ghazala Moyedi, an OBGYN and abortion provider in Texas and board member with Physicians for Reproductive Health. Dr. Moyedi, welcome back to the show.
Thank you so much for having me again.
I'm going to start with you, Dr. Moyedi. Before we get into the specifics of this new law, can you just walk us through your experience as an abortion provider in Texas?
Up until this week, it was a very joyful job, but this week has been incredibly devastating to be a provider here, to be a mom here, to be a human here.
Talk us just a bit through the pandemic and the ways that over the course of now nearly 2 years, it may have impeded access to reproductive care in the broadest sense for your patients.
Yes. You know, Texas, at the beginning of the pandemic, shut down abortion services for a month. And providers like Dr. Kumar and I were scrambling to get patients care and show up for people where they needed us. It took us several months to be able to catch up to the backlog of people needing care. All of this during a pandemic, you know, trying to figure out what was safe, how to keep our staff safe, how to keep patients safe. And so providers in the state have been through a lot. We've been just struggling every single day to find new ways, better ways, innovative ways to get people care through everything that's been happening.
Dr. Kumar, I'm struck by Dr. Moyedi talking about this experience of providing reproductive care, pregnancy care, and abortion as a joyful job, as a job of care, right? Using that language again and again. Does that align with your experience?
Yes, absolutely. I've been in Texas now providing abortion care for about 6.5 years, and it's really a core part of my existence. I think, you know, as a physician, what brings me joy is taking care of people, and that includes providing abortions, seeing people who need help, and then being able to help them, making them feel better, being compassionate, being nice. Those are the things that, you know, bring me joy and pride in my job as a physician. That includes when I provide abortions for people. And I think the staff that I work with shares a very similar sentiment. It's a very sacred thing for me. And of course, when it's sort of taken away from us, like it is now under Senate Bill 8, it's just as difficult to deal with because we're left helpless and we can't do what we're here to do.
Dr. Moyedi, can you remind us again what is actually in this law, SB 8?
Yes. Yeah, so this law does not impose criminal penalties on physicians or the person seeking an abortion themselves. Rather, it allows for civil lawsuits against physicians, nurses, healthcare staff, anyone at the clinic, or anyone helping someone get an abortion, but also anyone intending to help someone get an abortion. So the law is very vague. It removes some of the civil procedure requirements in Texas court. So it removes what is called standing. Now, I definitely wish I was a physician that did not know this much about the law at this point. But typically in Texas, you have to prove that you've been injured in some way to bring a civil lawsuit against someone. But this law has removed that very basic standard, and it allows anyone related to the patient or not to bring a lawsuit forward. And so it is 100% intended to intimidate us out of doing our ethical duty and caring for our community.
Dr. Kumar, does the law apply to both surgical and medical abortions? And maybe also just for some of our listeners who may not know the difference, can you kind of walk us through surgical versus medical abortion?
Yeah, of course. Yeah. Senate Bill 8, the law that we're talking about, is a very gnarly law. There are very few, if any, exceptions. And of course, that includes any abortion, whether it's a medication abortion or a procedural abortion. And just briefly, the differences with those two are that a medication abortion involves pills that somebody can take. And part of the process is at home, where folks may feel more comfortable. It's very effective. It's very safe, versus what we call a procedural abortion, or what some folks may know as a surgical abortion, which is a procedure that takes place in the clinic at the health center with me as their doctor, perhaps, and nurses and other staff, but it doesn't take place at home. And that is also extremely effective and extremely safe. So patients have the option of choosing whatever's best for them. But unfortunately, under Senate Bill 8, either one would not be allowed in Texas if cardiac motion could be detected.
Dr. Moghetti, how would anyone know if someone else had a private medical procedure or surgical procedure? How would someone know that someone has sought an abortion?
Well, the scary part is that these extremists actually camp out outside of our clinics every single day, and they take pictures of staff. They take pictures of patients. They write down our license plates. They already have an expansive infrastructure across the country for surveillance and harassment of abortion clinic workers and abortion seekers. So how they would know is through their expansive surveillance infrastructure that they already have in place.
Let me ask a follow-up to that. What if someone maybe who has a private physician goes into, say, a university hospital and sees their private physician and is either prescribed the pills necessary for a medical abortion or is actually given, say, a DNC, a surgical procedure? Does that mean that basically it's only those who can be surveilled who are most vulnerable here?
Yes. So we're unclear right now who they're going to bring suits against and how. But yeah, it is unlikely that a private family physician or OBGYN in their office that is providing just individuals in their practice care is going to be found out. But it's also important to remember that in Texas, your regular physician is not technically usually allowed to provide abortion care to you. And so our state has already been regulated to the point that pretty much all abortion care happens within our known clinical settings. So they have already, thought of that. They've filtered us down to a few spots where most, if not all, abortions in the state happen.
So, Dr. Kumar, I'm struck again. Dr. Moyeti said that the primary purpose of this law is to intimidate and frighten. Are you feeling intimidated and frightened?
Certainly, yeah. And I totally agree with Dr. Moyeti that to your question before about how would you know or what happens if this, that, the other. And I think just asking those questions is what this law is designed to do, right? It's designed to have folks who may need access to abortion, folks who provide abortion, to think about every little thing that could happen and how somebody could find out if you want to continue providing the care that you've been providing, and make people feel fear and feel intimidated. So I think even having this conversation and sort of working through these questions and of course, the last few months about all the what ifs and how and who and where and what's going to happen, the amount of energy and time that's been put into that is exactly what this law or part of it is designed to do. So feeling fear and intimidation is not a new thing for us that do this work in Texas or places like Texas. We're used to it. Doesn't make it easy, but it's part of the work here. And I think naming it is part of getting around it. So of course, the fear is there. I feel it all the time, but I don't allow the fear to control me. It doesn't serve me. It doesn't help me or the people that I'm trying to take care of, but it's there. And I think some of us feel the fear differently and perhaps more heavily. But for me, the fear is there, but I try to move through it and recognize that it doesn't serve me.
Dr. Moyeti, how does having this bounty essentially placed on your heads affect physicians' capacity to get insurance in the state of Texas?
Yeah, that's a great question and one that we all started grappling with very early on after this law was passed. So for now, thankfully, it seems like this is not a malpractice issue at all because it is a civil proceeding. And so currently it has not affected our malpractice carriers. However, it's certainly a concern and of course, I think something that was on their mind in this process. But since it is a civil procedure and it doesn't have anything to do with actually with medical care, it is so far out of our purview of our malpractice insurers. But that remains to be seen what will happen. I don't know what will happen if we start getting dozens and dozens of these frivolous lawsuits. What are state medical boards going to say? What are the insurance companies going to say after that? What will the hospitals say that we have privileges at? There is a just endless spiral of thinking through the career consequences of multiple frivolous lawsuits.
Dr. Pavit Kumar is a staff physician for Planned Parenthood Center for Choice in Houston. And Dr. Ghazala Moyeti is an OBGYN and abortion provider in Texas and board member with Physicians for Reproductive Health. Thank you both for joining us and thank you both for your work.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for having me again.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.